the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, it is the Friday edition of The Drive. I don't know what I'm thinking about. It's like I'm already excited that we're coming back sometime. But no, we are back. As a matter of fact, everybody who's supposed to be here on the air is here today. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here on the Friday Drive. So welcome in. A beautiful day. Absolutely beautiful day. Traffic is the way you would expect 6 days before Christmas. Be careful if you're headed somewhere and give yourself plenty of time, because there are an awful lot of folks that still apparently have a lot of Christmas shopping to do. But we welcome you into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn on, as I said, just a gorgeous day. It's perfect today. I mean, a little cool, but sunshine. So I hope everybody doing well and getting ready for that final weekend before Christmas.
Wow. Yes, and thanks again for popping in, Coach. Always great to see you. And
yes,
and yeah, happy holidays to everyone. We're doing a couple more shows before we take our Christmas break.
But just two more after today, as a matter of fact.
Just a couple more last weekend before Christmas coming up. And it's a really special edition of The Drive, because as it stands right now, in about 10-15 minutes or so, we're going to talk with new Auburn head coach Alex Golish. We've had the chance, Bill. We've both been able to ask questions
right
in press conferences to Coach and chat with him a little bit off the stage as well. But this is the first time he's been on the show, and we're really looking forward to, you know, I've really been impressed with his attention to detail so far, mm-hmm, his willingness to go into into the minutia about different aspects of this job, and how candid he has been in a lot of his answers, and I'm really looking forward to getting to talk with him with an extended chat in the next few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to that. I mean, he had talked about his priorities when he first came in, and he's had a chance to spend time with his players. Quite a few players have announced that they're planning on entering the transfer portal. We'll talk to him a little bit about the philosophy there, Auburn's philosophy. There was an article written today, Justin Hokanson, there on Three and Rivals, writing that Auburn is taking a different stance on NIL. And we'll get Coach Golish's thoughts on that, but you know, it has been a whirlwind. This is just the end of the third week that he has been here at Auburn. Auburn has had a signing class. There's been a signing date, signing class, and Auburn with I think it was 18 or 19 signees there. They've added one, the player that we talked about the other day, the former Michigan signee on the offensive line, has signed with Auburn. I thought he might have to wait till February, but I guess if you're released from your national letter of intent, you can go ahead and sign with another school. But anyway, gone through signing day. He has his staff his on-field staff completed. So we'll talk with him about that and more as well. So looking forward to that coming up here in the next 10 minutes or so.
And in the meantime, you know, we mentioned it, you know, once the staff was finalized, we thought that the next big couple of dominoes that were going to fall were a lot of the players that you're waiting to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to test their market in the portal? Are they going to publicly announce that they're returning to Auburn? And you've gotten news from a couple who've said, I mean, Xavier Atkins, the most noteworthy player who's made it public that he's staying at Auburn. But you've had reports of other players from the last couple of years that are looking to move on through the portal, or at least enter the portal and see what happens. And Amaris Williams today.
No question. Amaris Williams, yeah, a big one today. Not long after Jermonte Waller announced, Auburn is down to one scholarship edge that I know of on the roster right now. So that is something Auburn will definitely have to address in the transfer portal.
It's tough though, Bill, because you don't know what guys' priorities are beyond, you know, everybody's probably looking to be taken care of financially, right, mm-hmm. Coach? I mean, beyond that, you know, some guys can prioritize
right.
being close to home or being in nice weather
money talks.
But sure, but there's also coaches who have a track record of getting into the NFL, and
right.
coaches who there can be various location based things or academic mm-hmm. things, or there can be players who want to win.
Right.
And there can be players who mm-hmm. I don't think it necessarily means you've got like if you're in a program like Auburn's position, and you have players from last year's team deciding to move on to other places, even guys that projected as starters, guys who produced statistically, guys that you would think you'd want back. Like if they're leaving, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a financial crisis.
No.
At Auburn, and it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, these new coaches don't know what they're doing. What it can mean is these guys gave Auburn a couple of years, and they only have a year or two left in college football, and they have the opportunity to move on to a place that can be, you know, that's going to be expected to win a lot next year. And I'm not going to be too shocked by, like, I don't know who's a guarantee. I mean, you would have said that, like, of the guys guys like Malik Blockton and Amaris Williams would have felt like the closest things to safe bets as far as, you know, guys that are mm-hmm. that you really have a good shot of, guys who have shown you and have a good shot of sticking around. You know, I don't know who is nailed down to the roster right now, because, you know, it's not just a one way decision, right, Bill? Like, you've got
No question about it, and that's again, that's something we'll get some thoughts from Alex Golish on this in a little while. If indeed, I mean, I have no reason to doubt what Justin Hokanson wrote earlier today, that Auburn is shifting more to a valuation with incentives with an incentive based NIL, which would mean you don't pay as much up front. Because there isn't, you don't have proven, you don't have numbers that show what you are worth. I mean, it's if that is the case, I can see where quite a few players would say, you know, hey, I want to go somewhere where they're going to pay me because they expect me to do well. Not wait and be paid when I do well.
Yeah, I think it all depends on sort of what kind of offers are out there, other than the one Auburn is offering in that situation. Because if you're Auburn and you want to go incentive based, like, there are players that are going to jump at that. There are other players who could find that money guaranteed at one or more other schools, right? And might decide that's the better deal. And it is tough if you're going up against. Like, if the teams you consider, if the programs you want to beat in the conference and the teams you consider rivals are going with heavy guarantees,
mm-hmm.
it's a gamble to go. I mean, it could work. It could pay huge dividends. But I know why some folks would think it's a gamble to zig where, you know, other folks are zagging and go with something that's more incentive based.
Yeah, so that is very, very interesting, and we'll talk to Alex Golish about that and more. We've got it should be a fun show here this afternoon. Obviously, we'll look at the playoff situation as the college football playoffs get underway tonight mm-hmm. in Norman, Alabama, and Oklahoma. The Sooners slight favorites in that ball game. Got. A bowl game going on right now. Had a blowout a little earlier today.
Yep.
As Western Michigan destroyed Kennesaw State in their first ever bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kennesaw State's first ever bowl game.
Right.
41-6 was the final there in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. And another one-sided game going on right now as NC State is rolling over Memphis 31-7. As they head to the fourth quarter in the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl down in Tampa. Didn't used to have all those names in front of them.
No, just the Sugar Bowl. What was it, All-State? And
yeah, but I remember before it was All-State. It was just a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
You had the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl. You had
the Bowl. He didn't have all the corporates.
Four major, and then you started having some others. Yeah. But you got to have, you got to have the sponsors now. So, yeah. So I tell you what we will do. We'll go ahead and get to our first break as we await a call from Auburn head football coach Alex Golish here on the Friday edition of The Drive. So stick with us.
Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and we should be hearing from Auburn head football coach Alex Golish here in a few minutes. Just got a notification that he'll be calling us at any moment, so we're just about set to take that call, and we will talk with him. So we will we'll be able to get back and take your calls here shortly on the Drive hotline. But again, we're very pleased that we have Auburn head football coach Alex Golish joining us on the Drive hotline. Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn, former Auburn defensive line coach, here in the studio. And Coach, welcome into the Drive. Great to have you on with us.
I appreciate y'all having me on. I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's you're coming to the end of 3 weeks here at Auburn. I am sure it has been a whirlwind.
You know what? It's been every day's had its own high points and then some things you've had to work through, but it's been awesome. It's the way the calendar is. It's December is not a contact period anymore. You used to be out on the road. Now you're not. So you've got a little bit of, I don't know what the word would be, but a little bit of stability in terms of being able to work and get thoughts organized and meet as a staff and continue to put together a plan. We had the first week and a half, our kids were still here. So you had a chance to be around them and meet with them and, really lay your vision out to them one at a time, which was cool and we needed. I think the one thing you wish you had was them around you here through the month so you can continue to build relationships. But some of that is being done over the phone, over FaceTime. But staff coming together, the on-the-field staff's been done, which has been awesome. Mm-hmm. The support staff is coming together really well. So there's something to do every minute of every day. You're just prioritizing as you go, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, that is something that is very obvious that, from our first meeting on that Monday a couple of weeks ago and then the follow-up as well, your plan and you know what you have expected from not just you but everyone there on your staff and on your team on a daily basis. Love to get you to talk a little bit about the staff that you have assembled there for on-field. Obviously, relationships are a very big part of building a team and building a staff, and you have very strong relationships, especially there on the offensive side.
Yeah, when we had the opportunity to come here, the biggest thing I wanted to do was get the best people in the country at what they did, and that's on the field from a coaching perspective, that's in the support roles. And I mean, there's so many now, from academics to nutrition to sports med to creative, all of it. There's so many different player development. There's so many different departments that touch the players daily. And the challenge was to everybody here was to go out and get the best people in the country at what they do. And as we went through and literally went one hire at a time, that I told our staff and I told the guys that they kind of working through all of it with, man, I don't want good people. I want elite people. I literally want the best in the country, and we've got the resources to do it. That's the expectation from the fan base. That's the expectation from our administration. And we were able to go do that. I was really, really, really happy with how it came together. You said it, offensively, was able to bring a handful of guys that I've been around for a really long time, guys that know what we do, how we do it, the expectations and the standards of how we're going to play offensive football here. And the foundation of it is laid. We were able to go and add some guys that I had familiarity with, that whether I've worked with them or have gotten to know them over the years, it was awesome to add Larry Porter and Larry Scott to round out the on the field staff. You know, Coach Porter had been here, has a passion for this place. He's one of the best running back coaches in the entire country, and an incredible man, and loves Auburn as much as anybody. And Larry Scott, who's coached tight ends in this conference several times, been a head coach, been an offensive coordinator. I think when you can add head coaching experience to a staff and add people that have been through what you're going through, I think it can only help you. And then defensively, you know, the ability to retain DJ and be able to work hand in hand with him. And I've said it publicly a couple of times, but somebody I've known for a really long time, have admired for a long time, have coached against, have kind of gone through this journey getting to this point, parallel, although never together, kind of in a lot of ways, very similar path. I thought I was really fortunate to get one of the best defensive coordinators in the entire country to stay, continue to help us build, and then bring a couple of guys with me from South Florida, guys that I really, really trust and are elite teachers, elite coaches, elite recruiters, and then to be able to go and get a couple of guys that had coordinated in this conference, know this league, both guys that I felt like, one that I worked with at two other stops, and I know the man and the coach that he is, and then another one that's coordinated that I felt really, really good about, just through the interview process, through making sure that it's somebody that fit, DJ had familiarity with, and as we went through the interview process, made a lot of sense to round out the staff. I'm really happy with it, really, really excited about it. Got a lot of the support around them filled out. Still got a couple of spots that we're working through, and then we've gone through the support staff and are rounding that out with a combination of like what I said earlier, elite people from around the country that I'm familiar with, people on our staff are familiar with. And I think the last thing, and it can't be shortchanged, is the strength staff. And I brought Gio Carides with me, who I was with at Iowa State, was with at South Florida, and I think maybe is undervalued of a hire in terms of people don't talk about it much, but I think it's such a huge deal in the development and the culture setting of the program. I think will be absolutely huge for our kids.
Talking with Auburn head football coach Alex Golish here on the Friday edition of The Drive with Bill, Dan, and Coach Don Dunn. And, Coach, we were talking with Don, who was Coach Tuberville's defensive line coach, just about some of the unbelievable changes that there have been. Staff-wise now, you have to have an extremely diverse and talented staff because of the evaluation. I mean, Don, you were saying you guys had a GA on both sides of the ball, and there were a couple of admin assistants, and that was pretty much it. But boy, Coach, these days you have to have a tremendous staff that is constantly evaluating talent nationwide, and of course, you know, on your own team.
Yeah, very much similar to an NFL model in the sense that you've got a scouting department for high school guys. You've got a scouting department for what the transfer portal brings, and different than the NFL because it's not just scouting them. You got to go recruit them, and you've got a whole front office side of it that handles a lot of the revenue side. So it's changed. I would imagine Coach Dunn would tell you it's changed just a little bit besides having one GA on both sides. And a secretary to kind of help you line your phone calls up. There's people managing people that are working underneath those people. But it still comes down to having an alignment within the staff. As staffs have grown, the key is still that they're all working in the same direction. Right. They're all working for the same purpose. And I think more than anything else, the vision has to be clearly defined. The standards have to be clearly defined in terms of what's expected every single day. And I think when you keep the players first, that's one thing that for me has never changed and never wavered and won't waver, is if you keep the players first, you do everything in the best interest of the guys in the program that are going through the day-to-day of what you're putting them through. I think you've got a chance to have elite success. And that's our vision for it. That's our plan for it. And we're slowly executing the plan.
Yeah, Coach, it's great to have you on the show. We really appreciate you you making some time for us. It's been, I imagine, a whirlwind these last couple of weeks. You've said in, I think it was one of the press conferences that we were able to attend, you mentioned when you're evaluating, you know, when you're talking about player retention and you're evaluating, you know, whether or not a guy would be a good fit, it matters if he fits schematically, it matters if he fits culturally. And I'm sort of like, you know, if you could go into a little more detail about, you know, what, you know, when you're deciding if a player is going to be a good fit culturally for your program, like what sort of things you're looking for?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is their commitment to becoming the best version of them. Ultimately, are they willing to be process driven? Are they willing to put their head down and work? Are they willing to be elite level teammates? And the word culture is like really, really overused in every aspect, overused in football, overused in the business world. I think culture ultimately is day to day what the people in your organization live like, feel like, what the priorities of the organization are, and is everybody working towards the same purpose? I mean, when you sit down with these guys one at a time, you're trying to get a foundation for why they're here, why they chose here, what their experience has been like here, how they've grown, how they want to grow. And you try to get a feel for are the guys bought into or are willing to buy into doing things differently than they've been done. And I think different when you come into a situation where there hasn't been success, different if you were walking into a situation where there has been success. I think the willingness to change is really important. And you got to understand, too, in my seat, that every situation is different and every young man's different. Their backgrounds are different. Their family dynamics are different. Their reasons for being here are different. And you're trying to have a really, really open mind with every single conversation. I think on the other side of it is you're trying to figure out if a young man can play and contribute. And there's different situations there. There's young guys that haven't had the opportunity to yet. There's older guys that have waited their turn. There's older guys that haven't played but feel like they should have. There's older guys that played a ton that feel like they should have played more. And every now and again, you get a guy that's like, man, everything is going well. Here's what I think needs to happen with the program for us to get better. Those are few and far between, but guys that have maybe come from a different program or have seen it done the right way, they have a different perspective on it. So you're trying to piece it all together. You're trying to hear everybody out, and then you're matching the film, things you're seeing, things you know, and you're trying to match it with the personality. And it's, you know, I think the biggest thing I could say is you hear a lot of men like, are these your guys? And I told the guys that, man, it's a unique situation for everybody that hadn't been through it. When I stood in front of the team and I said, man, like none of you guys in here picked me, but I picked every single one of you, and you guys are now my guys. And I think in recruiting today, in the level and the caliber that these guys are getting recruited at, there's a high sensitivity to, man, coach, do you want me? Like, am I one of your guys? And I think you're trying to speed date in some ways some of these guys you've got relationships with. So there's a lot of moving parts. I just gave you a bunch there, but there's a lot of moving parts that you're trying to piece together to essentially explain to the guys that you want to lay a foundation for something elite, and you need guys to do that. At the same time, you want guys that want to be here, that love this place and are willing to go about their business in such a way that they're willing to buy into what we want to do.
And something else that, as we talked a little while ago about changes, something else that wasn't a factor years ago that definitely is now is NIL. And that has to be, that definitely plays into recruiting, whether they be high school, junior college, transfer portal, that is. And would love your comments on a story today. Justin Hokanson of has written a story about Auburn changing its stance on NIL, going more to incentive based and not as much front loading. Love your comments on that.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing we had to do when we got here was evaluate how it's been done. And I think the best teacher of the future is when you can understand the past and understand what's worked, what hasn't. Each situation is uniquely different. Each place is different. The premise of in which guys got recruited is different at every place. And you try to come in with an open mind and try to understand the dynamic of how it's worked, how it's been, and what has worked and what hasn't. I think for myself, for our staff, understanding how it's worked has been really interesting. Understanding what the initiative has been is really fascinating. I think it's been highly publicized that there's elite level resources here, and continuing to work to build those even more. But I think ultimately, just the understanding that everything in this program is going to be earned. Everything, and that's not just players, that's coaches, that's support staff, that you're going to get rewarded for elite level work, for elite level production, and that's really it. Ultimately, you've got to be a really good human being, and we've got to develop you to be able to produce in this program. And ultimately, that's the stance. There's a lot of different ways you can go about it. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. And just understanding that it has to be earned in every single way in this program. And it's the only way that it can remain fair. It can be healthy for the culture of the locker room. And ultimately, you got to be able to walk in this building and know that I can always work towards something. And again, that's players, that's coaches, that's support staff, that's everybody that touches our kids. I think that understanding is absolutely critical for our success long term.
That makes perfect sense. But my question would be then, does it make it more difficult if you're expecting to recruit at the elite level against, you know, your competitors here in the Southeastern Conference, if you're going to tell the players they need to earn it, as opposed to some other schools that are willing to say, we expect you to be this good, so we're going to go ahead and pay you ahead of time?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes back to your initial initial question of the evaluation piece, mm-hmm. and which is why it was so important to have the experience that we were able to bring here from a coaching side and an evaluation side and a recruiting side. I think you do. You've got to recruit at an elite level. And you mentioned the competitors. This is the most competitive league in the entire country, with some of the best coaches and the best programs in the entire country. And so we do. We've got to recruit high school guys that are elite and high level. And you are going to have to invest greatly in elite high school players. And my intent was not that we wouldn't invest in high school players at all. You certainly will. You've got to be highly, highly sensitive to guys that are productive in your program being the ones that are taken care of first. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when we say rewarding production and rewarding work, that's where it's got to start. And you cannot sacrifice the guys in your program that are producing, that are leading, that are working in order to bring in somebody that hasn't done it yet. So there's a balance there, but it's got to start with ultimately the retention of your own players.
Talking with Auburn head coach Alex Golish here on the Friday edition of The Drive. And coach, you just mentioned it there with recruiting high school players. I would love to know sort of how you balance the need for experience with the desire to get young players valuable experience so that they can develop. Yeah, because, you know, especially at positions where the starter plays the bulk of the time, offensive line, quarterback, you can pick them. But like, how do you wrestle with that challenge?
Yeah, it's a great question. Some would say the biggest question. I think there's two things that have to happen. We've got to be able to assemble a roster that gives us a chance to win and gives us a chance to win really quickly. I think, and you've heard me say it before, I think it's important in this day and age and in this climate to establish proof of concept for certainly a fan base, but for high school recruits, for high school coaches to say, man, those guys got something going on there. And the competitor in me says, I want to win, and I want to win it all, and I want to win it all now. And we're certainly going to work incredibly hard to get that done. But you can't do it at the sacrifice that you're not building a sustainable program and a sustainable culture from the bottom up as well. So there's a balance. As we work through this portal piece, we've got to identify and pinpoint immediately, man, where do we need immediate help? And with that being said, where are there guys that are regional in terms of their high school years somewhere else that maybe fit what we're doing? Maybe they didn't fit before, maybe they picked somewhere else, but they fit now schematically, culturally, what we do. So you start there with being able to fill some gaps in terms of just pure numbers. If a guy leaves or we move on from a guy, filling those gaps on the roster with a balance of experience and a balance of maybe guys that don't have a ton of experience but fit what we do, in order to be able to create a healthy roster top to bottom. Again, we talk about sustainable success. You want to be able to win year in, year out. And then as you move on past the portal window, you go and you attack the best high school talent in the entire country, starting with this 250-mile radius around campus, to be able to then continue to build through the year. With going to one portal window, you really have to stress the replacement piece and the addition piece from a portal standpoint just once a year, which gives you the rest of the year to worry about the high school guys that ultimately you want to be able to recruit to build the program from the bottom up in terms of from an age standpoint. And then you get through the year, you hopefully have an elite level of success, which allows you to retain at a much higher clip. And then you fill some gaps there as well. And you do it year after year to the point where I don't think you're ever going to get away from the portal. I think it's always, as long as the rules are what they are, you're always going to supplement and be able to get difference makers in there. But I think foundationally, you want to recruit high school talent and develop it. And I've always said this, but for the most part, a young man in year three and four in your program is always going to be higher production value than somebody that just came in, doesn't know your culture, doesn't know your scheme. I think the mental side of it still weighs heavy when you're playing the schedule that you are, meaning somebody that knows what they're doing, knows the expectations, knows the standards, has been in your strength program, has been in your systems offensively and defensively for years. It's hard to put a price tag on that value.
Coach, we really appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here. I don't know anyone that's an Auburn fan that isn't really excited about the future of Auburn football under your leadership. Have Alexis Corbin Barrett had a chance to catch a breath here as they get ready for Christmas?
Listen, they're like living their best lives. They were here for a couple of days when we got here in the press conference and all that, and then they went right back to Tampa and finished the semester. They actually came back yesterday, looking at schools today, looking at houses, and I think that'll kind of be the last piece of them feeling comfortable. But no, like, listen, they've got a dad. It's getting close to Christmas, right? They've got an absentee father who isn't there and hasn't been there in like 3 weeks. So what do you think? Like, as crappy as I feel about not being there for them, yeah, like literally, they're liable to max out credit cards, and I'm going to try to supplement my love and time with Christmas gifts. So that's the luckiest trio in America.
We're
going
to keep some local businesses afloat this holiday season, Coach.
Oh,
hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah, no kidding. Coach, again, we really appreciate it, man. We are thrilled to have had you on, and you're welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you back.
I appreciate y'all having me on. War Eagle, y'all have a great Christmas as well.
All right. Merry Christmas. Right. Coach Alex Golish joining us here on the Friday edition of The Drive. And that is, there's no question, that is a man with a plan.
Yeah. I'm very.
You can tell. I mean, as detail oriented and he is precise. He knows what he expects.
Spent a lot of time listening to him. I am very impressed, which doesn't matter, but he's a football coach.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, that's one thing. Everything you ever hear anyone say about him is, man, that's what he is, and that's it. He is a football coach.
And I want a coach that passes the Don Dunn smell test, well, right? Like, you've seen a lot of football coaches come and go.
Yeah, but not that I'm anybody special, but I like that guy, and I don't even know him from Adam. But
well, you need to get to know him.
I will. I promise.
Absolutely.
And, I like what he said. He had an answer, his demeanor, and I like the fact you gotta produce.
Yeah,
I mean,
he answered what we were talking about. Because there were some people saying, well, if you're gonna do that, you're not gonna be able to get the elite players. He said, yes,
he knows what he's doing.
You know who the elite players are, and you gotta pay them. But you don't want to be underpaying or ignoring someone who has proven what they can do. I know we need to get to break. We're way behind. We're gonna open up the phone lines. Love for you to join us as we continue here with the Friday Drive.
Your friends at Reynolds Outdoors are thankful in this special time of year
that we were able to have Coach Alex Golish on with us. Hope you had a chance to hear that whole interview. We kept him on for a little longer than originally planned. But he gives you such detailed answers.
Yeah, yeah. How about a shout-out to
Taylor?
Yeah, to Taylor Bryan, the Sports Information Director for Auburn Football. And a guy's doing a great job, with helping make Coach Golish accessible right now, and that's just it's a real thrill to get to talk to him. I hope folks enjoyed some of those answers. Bill, you mentioned
he answered and explained what some people have been concerned with today with the additions, two more additions into the transfer portal. Look, I mean, that's going to happen. That doesn't mean those players couldn't change their mind, but generally, players that are announcing this early, because transfer portal didn't open for 2 weeks, they're probably going to go into the transfer portal and want to find out what their other options would be.
And another thing, as bad as it is that we think these guys are leaving, it's probably good that they're doing it this early.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You don't want them to do it the day of the portal opening.
Yeah, yeah. Now the coaching staff goes, hey, we've got to fill these spots here.
We can get a plan.
Coach, what was it like on signing day when a kid that you were ready to, you'd had locked in for months,
and they changed their mind?
And he's a flip to another school.
Well, besides, you're scared and running away from wherever the head coach is. and your wife and everybody else that you've been telling for 6 months, I got the best guy in America. It is devastating, but you always had a backup plan. And these guys will too, but I'd rather know 2 weeks before signing date than signing date morning when you're waiting on that fax.
Oh, you're absolutely
and
right.
And then you see where that fax went to Alabama or to Florida instead of coming to Auburn.
And that's but if they'd found if these guys had decided on portal day.
That's more devastating.
Yeah, then you're on play. Then you're on
and
that.
And that's chicken manure.
Yeah, and this
not
is
not manure.
And no, and to see no, absolutely. I mean, and yeah. I think you know, and for some guys, they may genuinely be, you know, taking time to make this decision, right? And some yeah. other guys, it may be a money play. You never right. know. But yeah, right. I think it's
there's
I think
so
it's,
much more, like you said. Dan, now, I mean, there's so much behind the scenes we don't even know about.
You're right. It does.
With agents yeah. and this and that.
Well, I would think coaches would say, look, if you're going to enter the portal, go ahead and let us know.
And I guarantee you he's met individually with every player on this team, and he's probably told them, hey, are you in or are you out? And, you know, I'm not putting words in coach's mouth, but.
No, he said you've he wanted to find. He, remember, yeah. he said it right. Well, he said yeah. it right here on the show. But he also said the very first time that he spoke to the public, to the media, he was going to find out what players wanted to be at Auburn.
Exactly, and that's who you want to go to war with. You don't want those wishy-washy guys, the old foxo. Who you want in the foxo with yeah. you?
I think Coach Golish sounds sharp. I'm very impressed. Yeah, I think his willingness to go into some detail here. I know some folks might be, you know, they might want more specifics, but I understand why a coach on the eve of the portal, I understand
he's got
why a coach
so much on his plate right now, guys. I'm telling you.
But I think that he's, you know, he's got a. And you can tell that he really trusts the people he's empowered
yes.
too, which I think is probably a
that's
good sign.
Why he's brought in the people he brought, a lot of his own people, past relationships, like you said, trust. If you don't trust the guys you're working with, it's like in any business, you're not going to succeed.
It's not going to last.
You're going to get stabbed in the back, and you know the first ones to leave a sinking ship are the rats.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. On the news of the day, let's see, Amaris Williams, Jamonte Waller entering the portal. How about locally, Brian Moore stepping down as Opelika's head football coach?
Crazy times, guys.
Man, you're not kidding. I mean,
that's
so,
a good job.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that.
I don't think have a problem filling that.
Big there'll be plenty of applicants.
Yes.
Big Auburn men's basketball game against Purdue
yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, another gigantic non-conference game yeah. for Auburn, the last big non-conference test before you dial yeah. up league play at the start of the new year.
Yeah, SEC's got a lot of big games tomorrow. They're playing some big teams.
Yeah, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join us here on the Friday Drive.
Your friends at Reynolds Outdoors are
thankfulbnau.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
And a couple of minutes of hour number one here on the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Don. And we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar. Again, I hope you had a chance to hear our interview with Auburn head football coach Alex Golish. We'll probably rerun that again before Christmas. I think it's definitely worth something.
Maybe a couple times.
And we'll promote that so in case you missed it, you know, you'll know when we're going to run it again. We've got about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I don't want to cut Brett short. So I mean, we can try. Hey, Brett, you got about a minute and a half before the music starts here, or you can and you can stick around at the start of the second hour if you want to.
Okay. Hey, what I was calling about, I didn't get a chance to read Justin Wilkinson's article, but I know y'all didn't have enough time to ask him and go into depth about it, but the NIL. That they're talking about based on production and metrics, I'm just not really sure how that works. Things like the defensive line. I mean, you got guys like last year, they played a ton of people. So, I mean, do you do tackles per play or how you grade it out? Or
yeah, I don't know that it would be pure statistics. Yeah. I think you'd have to, on the defensive line, you've got Vontrezz King-Williams who is still here, and I would think you'd rely on what he had to say as far as how he valued anyone that was here last year.
Yeah. Well, tell me how y'all think, you might not be able to get into it now, but tell me how y'all think that'll go over with players, you know, going forward.
You know, it depends on how much leverage you've got, right? Because if you're talking about a player who's got a lot of options and could maybe get that money guaranteed somewhere else, I think an incentive-laden deal's going to be, especially if money's the top priority for that player, I think that's going to be a tougher that's going to be a bit of a tough sell. But maybe you got some players who are eager for that kind of opportunity.
How about high school athletes, Dan?
Well, that's why I asked him about, competing with SEC teams for elite talent.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to have to value those guys and be able to compete and pay them. But the question is then overpaying someone if you have someone already on your roster who is more valuable than that. So, yes, it's a very, very tough situation. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to be figuring this equation, and I love math. Brett, you can hang on if you'd like. We've got to get to our top of the hour break. Back with hour number two of the Friday Drive.
Jonathan here with University Ace.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Friday Drive. It's actually a little, it seems like it's not as dark. I guess it's just because we had more sun today.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but I mean, guess, it's not pitch black at 5
what
o'clock.
Is it, next week, though? It
next
does
week.
Start going
starting Tuesday.
Okay.
I believe.
That's good. There's hope.
Yeah, the longest day of the year is the 22nd, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, yeah.
I think so.
Solstice.
The shortest day of the year.
The solstice is coming up.
The winter solstice.
Yeah. In the next couple of days.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had somebody else mention that to me the other day. Said just looking forward to 2 weeks from now when the days are getting a little bit longer.
I'll tell you, it's been a rainier December than usual.
We definitely needed it.
But I would say
it did some raining last night.
Yeah, yes. but warmer as well. I mean, a couple. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago we had that single digit day and night for Christmas. Remember, like a hard freeze. And it's it's been defrosting in the last couple of days ever since. But it's a little bit more temperate. But you're right. You look outside, and it feels like it's got to be just brutal, right? Dreary looking. But then you go out there and occasionally wet and windy, but kind of mild for
yeah. And then
for
today
for
and then
December.
Today it was just gorgeous. Yep. It was a little bit little cooler today. But, it doesn't look like that's going to stick. We're going to warm back up. It's going to be 70-ish Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and not even rain. So it should be great weather for, if you get any outdoor toys, whether you're a youngster or not, you should be able to enjoy them.
Yeah, mentioned it towards the end of the first hour. But, again, just a real big shout-out to folks at Auburn for setting up the interview with Coach Alex Golish. I hope people enjoyed it. We've got some nice feedback already about the coach's first appearance on The Drive ever, and yeah, if you missed it, we'll have the podcast up later today. Just search for your for The Drive with Bill Cameron on your favorite podcasting platform, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. Like Bill said, we might try to rerun the interview on Monday or Tuesday as we get ready for the holidays here in town. I'm supposed to go to a play in Montgomery, so I'm going to try to dip out early. So maybe we'll run the interview on the day that I need to,
I
need to slip out a little bit early. But again, yeah, Coach Golish was just, it was great. It was great to get to talk to him, and someone who, like you said, Coach, a guy who's, he's. I mean, I don't want to call him no nonsense because he tolerated some of our nonsense at the end of the. at the end of the interview, but he was
no. I think he has some fun.
Yeah,
too.
He has
some
fun.
I think he does.
Yeah,
but you ask him a serious question, he will give you a very in depth, thoughtful answer.
Yes, yeah, I'm very impressed. Like I said, good to hear.
We were alluding to a story. Justin Hokanson of Rivals on 3 writing earlier today that Auburn is changing its approach toward NIL, saying they're overhauling the NIL structure, moving away from front-loaded deals for unproven players toward a more production-based, incentive-based model. And that's one of the things. And so we asked Coach Golish about that. And he was explaining, because the first thing that I heard following that story, I heard some comments today of, you'll never sign anybody because other schools are going to pay those guys up front. Well, Alex Golish didn't sound like he was going to back away from going after the top players and paying them. But I think you do have to balance it with, you don't want to pay someone who live hotline sponsored by Skybar. You want to take a call?
Yeah, let's see who's on the air. Caller.
This is Bill.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, guys, I was just going to call in. You talk about a couple of things I wanted to touch on, the incentives thing. I certainly hope that works. It's a great approach. But like, if your competitors are guaranteeing, that might be something of a mountain to climb. I hope that works. But you know, the biggest thing for me is I'm sitting here tonight, and it's disappointing. I'm watching all our main rivals play in this tournament, which I thought we'd be a part of someday. And we're not even in the ballpark. I hope Coach Golish does well. I'm like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'll get behind him and do the best I can. But Jason brought a good point up earlier in the week when he said eventually people are going to flame out. You're not going to fill that stadium week in and week out when it's 5 and 6 games.
You've got to win. And that's something that Alex Golish has said, that he expects to win and win early. You're not going to be able to win 10 this year, but you need to win more. You need to win more than you lose this year.
It's going to be tough to keep expecting that atmosphere to stay that atmosphere, you know, the one that you tout and make videos about and brag endlessly on social media about, understandably, right? Like, but it's not going to stay that way if the product on the field continues at the level it's been for the last few years. I think that you have examples of that, right? You have Nebraska and Tennessee and places where it wasn't what it was until they started winning again, and you absolutely run that risk.
Yeah, you have a good point, Dan, when you said, not everybody. It's my opinion. I don't think all of these players. We're losing some really good players that have been major contributors. I think a lot of that is due to just we're not winning any games. Guys want to play where they can win. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the second or third, whenever the thing officially opens up, and how many more we lose. And like Bill was saying, you may not lose them all. That may be just posturing for more money, but
the thought of a true sophomore, a Malik Blockton or a Jay Crawford or a Morris is a second year player, right? I mean, Malcolm Simmons, like some of these guys where it's like they're going to watch college football playoff games this weekend where there are starters, and it's like I'm as good as that guy, if not better, right now, and I'm a rising junior on a team that had a losing record.
Yeah, that's right.
This past year. To me, that's like, and you can try to make up that difference with money, right? To get them to stick around at Auburn. But I think it's about like a lot of different things on the checklist, right? And money's one of them, but it's not the only thing on the checklist for some of these guys. And they'll probably be taken care of financially just about anywhere they go. But can you offer a spot in the preseason top 10 next year? In the preseason AP top 10, because some of these guys can go to schools that can.
Yeah, and we haven't won in a while. So selling Auburn right now is much harder than it was when Coach Dunn was there, because we sold atmosphere, we sold game day, we sold all that. But now, it's not all of them, but most of these guys are just looking for money, and a lot of it. And you better start winning some games I'll be honest with you guys. I'm as close to walking away from this as I've ever been. And you know, I go to games home and away. But I want to start winning some games. And Coach Golish is not in an enviable position because I'm sure he knows that much better than I do. But I wish him the best. I just it's just disappointing to sit here tonight and watch.
Oh, you're
teams
no question.
We played to the tilt, and here we are sitting here empty-handed again on our third coach in 10 years. It's just it's beyond disappointing for me because I am a lawyer for the university. But
well, you're right. I mean, Alabama and Oklahoma, those games were razor thin for Auburn, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you had two.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's fourth coach this decade. How about that? I mean,
it's beyond disappointing. I wanted to ask Coach Dunn something real quick. After I hung up. Coach, I'm sure you did, and I'm not asking any names, but did you ever recruit anybody that you thought was going to be a great player and they didn't sign and you were sure they would? Did that ever happen?
Yes, sir. Quite a few times. We were talking a little bit about that earlier. You know, like you think you got a guy, you've recruited him for 2 or 3 years.
All right. So who was the biggest fish that got away?
Probably for me was DeCenzo Miller, the great running back at Mississippi State. He was at everything we ever did, him and his mom. I'm talking about every camp, stayed for the whole time, every home game, and Jackie came in and got the grandfather to help him and went down the road.
Yeah.
He was one. Now, that was at Ole Miss. At Auburn, there was a receiver out of Jacksonville I lost to Clemson. I was on the phone with him probably 4 hours the night before signing day, just begging him like a little baby. And, yeah, there's been a few.
Was there one? Now, Bill brought up a good point. I hadn't thought about this.
Yeah.
Was there one that when you lost, you thought, oh, man, that's terrible, but then they didn't pan out at all?
Yeah, there's been a few like that, too.
I mean, you get guys, it's like, oh, crap, that's gonna come back
and
haunt me.
You never know, Bill.
Right.
Like you said earlier, you never know. You just hope that you got the right kid that buys in and has a great career.
No guarantees.
No, no guarantees. And now it's – if they don't pan out, they leave. Or, you know, even if they do pan out, they leave.
There used to be no silver medal in recruiting, but now you can.
Bronze may be good.
Yeah,
I mean,
not even
showing.
Yeah,
you're on the stage, right? Win, place, and show.
Yeah, yeah, horse racing.
Merry Christmas, guys.
You too, buddy.
Good hearing from you, Bill. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 5:26 here on this Friday. And don't want to spend the whole show because, I mean, there's a lot more to be talking about. But wanted to get a couple more points. We were just talking during the break. Jason Caldwell.
It's a pretty big deal when we get to talk with Alex Golish.
Oh, well, it is.
I mean,
Alex Golish has been, spending some time with the Auburn beat, the beat writers. Mentioned Justin earlier, but Jason Caldwell, of course, who Bill was talking about, who made some always has great insights. Jason had an opportunity to spend a little time with Alex Golish, and he goes into a little more of the detail explaining why. And just paraphrasing, he says that the plan has changed since he got here, and it changes daily just depending on how things are going. It was, you've got to get with the players, meet the players, find out the players that want to stay at Auburn, retain as many as we can. Obviously, that is still the plan, but it is changing because, as he says, And one of the things that Dan was talking about just a little while ago, some players that have been here for a while can say, Coach, and one of the things that Alex Golish says is he hears from players, Coach, I'm sick and tired of losing. And the coach, Alex Golish, can say, well, we're not going to lose. We're going to win more. And the players can say, we've heard that for the last couple of years, Coach. And that's why they may want to go into the portal to go to a place that they feel gives them a better chance of winning and winning big next year.
And that's why 2025 was such a high-stakes year for Auburn.
Yes.
Not just for Hugh Freeze, but for the program, is because the guys—
That was the year that everything was building toward.
The guys with eligibility remaining from the 2025 Auburn team that you'd really like to keep, the ones that really like fit, you know, seems like they could, you know, seem like they have really bright futures in college football, especially the, you know, the sophomores that have shown themselves for 2 years. Those guys, if they can make the same money at a program that gives them a better chance to win next year, like, that's something Alex Golish can't compete with when he's trying to re-recruit them, because he's not going to look like— I don't think he's going to look players in the eyes and tell them things that aren't true. And if they ask, you know, coach, can you guarantee a spot in the college football playoff next year, right? Like, Alex Golish, is he going to be able to do—
No.
Is he going to be able to do something like that? And some of these guys can go to coaches that can more or less guarantee that with the
they
roster.
Say, look at our record. We're there now.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. And why shouldn't we be next year?
Yeah, coaches can say things like, I'm Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
And, like, look at my record over the last 6 years. You know, name a coach in college football better than me. So, like, I think that's something that Alex Golish is— like, those are headwinds, right? That you have to try to— and you've stepped into programs trying to turn things around.
Yes.
And it's about— I mean, recruiting players to believe that vision that you see of what the future could be.
Right.
And getting you know, the best out of what you can convince to stick around.
Yeah, get them to buy in. Yeah, it's tough. Because like Bill said earlier, they want to win. And, you know, it's just when you haven't won for a while, it's hard to say, well, we're here now, we're going to change. And some of these guys have said, well, this is my third head coach.
Yeah.
And it's the same. So it's tough deal.
Yeah, so I say that, you know, what we're talking about, we say just to the people that say it's all money. And sure, money is a factor, and it is not a minor factor by any means, but it may not be the factor. I mean, there's so many things that are involved. Again, we'd love—
You'd hope winning still factors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
for a
yeah.
lot of— I mean maybe right. not maybe not if you're like,
I mean, I hope you're not playing just for the paycheck. I mean,
exactly,
I hope
yeah.
you're, you know, there's love of what you're doing,
well,
love of the
game.
Well,
you know, you look at the pros, they want to win, mm-hmm. and they're making millions. I think they want to win. Most of them do. It seems like it.
Is there something to be said for programs that
I don't
have—
know how many guys you want to have on your team that don't care.
No.
About, I mean, program, if they win or not.
You can see what happens when that
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, you're right.
Or programs and or coaches that have a strong track record of turning—
Programs around.
Well, how about turning players into NFL players?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would think that's something else that you know, yeah. guys this time of year could be evaluating. With where they want to play the rest of their college football careers.
All right. You want to go ahead and get back on track? We can get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll have a half an hour to go. Love for you to join in. We'll look at the college football playoffs preview, Auburn, Purdue, and more in the final half hour of the Friday Drive. Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Pat is up. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I really enjoy listening to Coach Golish talk. He sounds like just a great coach all the way around. But I'm just afraid. I agree with one of the earlier callers. There's a lot of pitfalls that can come with this, and I'll just use a couple of simple examples that come to my mind that I'm hoping that he already has this kind of figured out. But when you start rewarding people on performance, I mean, you know, clearly that's not NIL, but you're talking about, okay, pretend you're doing it on the basketball court. Okay, so you say, okay, guys, whoever you get for every point you average, you know, you get $100,000. Okay, well, you're going to get a team that's just going to shoot the ball the second they catch it. So on defense, the better your defense is, you get three and outs. So you really can't go by, if you get three and outs, so you're not going to load up on a bunch of tackles. So you can't really do tackles. And so, you know, to me, it just almost seems like, you know, if you're saying, hey, you're a defender and you got the A gap and you got the B gap, but if I got to get my tackle, I'm just going to go straight for the tackle. You get guys diving over the place, and you don't play.
You don't want
football.
A system. You do not want a system that rewards selfishness.
No, no,
like or encourages.
That's right.
I would agree.
I think,
but I don't. But I think there's probably a way to reward defensive players for performance that in a way that doesn't. Coach, I'd love your thoughts here. Is there a way to reward defensive players for performance that doesn't necessarily encourage selfishness and for guys to do, oh, he made the wrong play because he was trying to get the sack for the extra couple hundred bucks? Or, like, because I get where Pat's coming from, that, like,
yeah,
a system that's just,
nothing but numbers-based.
If it's just stickers on the board, did you make this play or that play? I don't know if Golish is going to do that sort of looking at overall, whether it's getting into advanced grading.
You're
going
to have some serious metrics, but I would think, Pat, and
because I never know,
Don,
how, you, I never know how to evaluate guys at the line of scrimmage.
You'd have a tougher
anyway.
Time with players that you're bringing in and valuing what they did, as opposed to if you've got the coaches that coached these guys last year, I would think you're relying on them to give you huge input as to what those players are worth.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's just so many different reasons why this could not work. For instance, if I'm a guy and I'm like, okay, I'm a good player, but the coach, for whatever reason, I'm in his doghouse right now. So if he doesn't put me in, I can't make a play. Mm-hmm. And so I'm counting completely. I'm trusting.
Well, he's gone.
This coach,
there's no question about that.
Players are incentive-laden deals. Playing time will be like, they'll need it like fish need water, right? Like you're talking about, like, without it, they will not be, that's how you.
And you're counting on the coach to put you in, and that's the problem in my mind. I'm like, well, golly, I come in, and if he doesn't put me in, and I'm here, we're doing everything I can. You're completely trusting in the coach.
You're right.
Now.
I'll tell you I'm counting on a coach to play the best players, what I would sure like.
And the flip side, Pat, would be when you sign a guy and it's all guaranteed up front, he doesn't need any playing time at all.
Anything. He's just cashing the checks.
That's the good thing. That's the good thing about the year-to-year contract is that, and I know everyone the two-year contract, but I think personally, if I was a coach, I would love the 1 year contract. Yes, it's a little more work. You got more assistance, and you divvy that out to their job. But if someone isn't panning out, you can move on and you can go get a better guy. So to me, I would have a better chance as opposed to signing a guy, out of high school, and now I'm stuck with him for 4 years, and then they're just sitting on the bench for 4 years. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But I the one thing I have, and I understand maybe 4 or 5 years ago that the Dabo Swinney approach was kind of, seemed like it was the way to go. But Jason said it, a couple weeks ago. It's like, right now, do you really want to be going the high school route? And I'm not going to go and spend a bunch of money on a 4-star high school guy, hoping that in 2 or 3 years he turns out good. I'm wasting money on that guy that I could be giving to guys that are on my team now or guys that I can get in the portal. So he seemed like he was really all about building it the old-fashioned way, the good way. But I don't know that way is going to still work. And that's my only fear there is I wouldn't even be wasting money on high school guys at this point. I mean, quite honestly, it's like we need to keep the guys on the team. And, the first reaction, what I heard was that, Morris and then Waller, they both, it sounded like they were going to stay. And then the minute they thought that, they're like, well, man, I've been trusting these guys, for my last 2 years. And it's like, and then now I've got to trust them again when I got Florida going to give me, a guaranteed deal. That's I think the concept is great. If once a couple of years into the program and you're winning and everybody sees it, I think the Indiana guy, I listen to him and he is just a baller. He's a straight out. I mean, he's just like, I'm going to win. I don't care. He's like, you're doing it my way and we're going to win. It's kind of like Nick Saban, but I mean, even harder in my mind. But that works because it works with players that aren't the best players, that they work their ass off to get it to get good because they're not the best according to everybody else. So but we've got guys on our team that are told that they're the best or that they were the best, so you kind of can't just run them all off. I guess we'll be playing with a bunch of 3-stars and if he gets the best out of them and they produce, I guess that'll work. But man, it seems like the hard way to get to where you want to go.
I do think there's a mix, Pat, between players that might be experiencing like, okay, well, they're not going to receive the money they got the last couple of years because they haven't produced the last couple of seasons, and guys who did produce and we keep speculating might want more than Auburn can offer in 2026, right? Like it's tough to know who's been run off and who has decided to leave because they want to pursue something else in college football.
Well, and I mean, and look, he made the comment, and this is one thing that I listened, I heard it, from, and it meant a lot to me when he said, I sat there and I talked to each and every one of them until they were done talking to me. And that's kind of like how I would do my employees. It's like I sit there and I chum up with them, and I love them to death. But when they say something that kind of sticks in my mind, I'm like, okay, this person is definitely using the position for this reason, and it's not all about the business. And so I feel like he figured out the ones that are just kind of in it for themselves, and he feels like, well, you know what, I'll just save that money and go get me somebody that's going to come in that I can bring in that is not the high rated star, but he's going to produce just as much. My problem is I've seen Waller play and Amaris Williams play. I've seen them make plays, and they're just like, huh. I mean, the potential is so, like, man, if he could ever unleash that potential, it would be unstoppable. And that's where I think Indiana, they don't have any of the big star guys. I mean, even you talk about Calzada going to wherever. I mean, Calzada, or not Calzada, but whatever.
Mendoza.
The guy that won.
I'll tell you what, though, Pat, on that point.
He was nobody till last year.
He was somebody when he came from.
Yeah, but I mean, they've only got a half dozen four stars that were four stars out of high school.
But those two guys you just mentioned, Amaris and Waller, like, I agree with you. The potential seems off the charts. We've seen guys, you know, finally put it together and unleash that potential. We've seen guys end their Auburn careers full of potential, right?
And look, Coach Golish spent some time with Jason Caldwell a little earlier. There are a couple of quotes that he says in here that would maybe give you a little different perspective. He talks about, he said, I would tell you we're fighting like crazy on some guys. A majority of the guys on the team were fighting like crazy. He goes, some guys didn't want to give us a chance. That's totally fair. Some guys are giving us a chance. That's totally fair. So, I mean, look, he's just because, as he said, just because players love it here doesn't mean that, even though he said, hey, they love it here and they love their teammates, some of them just want they want to see what it's like in a different place too. So I don't think they're throwing as many away as some people might think.
I don't think they're throwing away. I'm just thinking that if I'm a player, I've got to put all my trust into this coach. I think for somebody like Atkins, I mean, that guy is just a straight up baller. He's out there just making play after play. So for him,
he's also being rewarded. I can tell you that for what he did this past year.
But I mean, him and Coleman, I feel like Coleman is a no brainer for him in terms of, I'm still going to make my money. But you've seen receivers out there that, you know, when they weren't getting the ball, you know, and they're like, and I'm like, man, if he doesn't throw me the ball, I'm losing out on my money, you know. So I just feel like that's the only thing I feel like he's smart enough. I think he did his homework, evaluated the players, and I feel like he knows the ones that he needs to keep. So I think in general, if you just went in it like a Summerall, I feel like Summerall is a more shallow of a person. I feel like he would probably fall for the BS or some more. I trust him. I'm trusting him.
He's
taking the hard road.
I buy the similarities between, I made the comparison in the first hour, like the folks who make the point between, look what A&M had with Jimbo and look what they became with Elko this year with a system that's a little bit more cerebral and a little bit more putting the emphasis on the players to improve rather than just saying, well, you're the best because we signed you. Right, you were a five star, and the work, you know,
exactly.
Jimbo's answer was throw talent at it, and it got him it got him losing records in the SEC, and it got him fired.
Won him a national championship at Florida State, but then things went downhill after that.
Yeah, well, he had the one guy just like we had Cam.
That's right.
You can do it when you have that guy. But all right, guys, where you go? Y'all have a great week.
Good hearing from you, Pat. Yep, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us on the Friday Drive.
Your friends at 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment for this Friday. Got the college football playoffs getting underway shortly in about 2 hours. No, yeah, about an hour and 10 minutes, actually.
Yeah, seven.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. We'll have that here on ESPN 106.7.
That's right. We'll have all the college playoff games this weekend. Alabama, Oklahoma. I picked Alabama earlier on Doug's thing, but I'm leaning Oklahoma now. I just feel like if John Mateer can play
the fact that it's
pretty
in Norman,
well at yes at
it,
home.
You were at the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
Did it feel like the crowd was getting to that Alabama offense?
It did.
At times, you know, the
it
fact
did.
That
did Georgia take a page from that? You think Brent Venables and Oklahoma have an idea maybe of what might work against the Alabama offense?
Is Ty Simpson okay?
I don't think he is.
I think he's been hurt for a couple. I think there have been a couple of games where you've got the sense like, ooh, that pass didn't. How about this?
You didn't like
the angle of the landing on some of those hits that he was taking, right? Mm-hmm. Where you see the head jerk right. back or the back of the head hit the turf. He's had a couple weeks off since the game in Atlanta, but yeah, I think this one feels like it. You can boil it down to which quarterback's going to play better. Mm-hmm. And Simpson away from home, it's tough to back him over Mateer. So I think I would also, you know, maybe Oklahoma close, but wouldn't be shocked at all if. And I'll tell you what, if Alabama figures it out offensively, they're not just dangerous tonight.
Well, if either of these teams figures it out offensively, because they both can play defense,
right? And they both have it's Indiana right in the Rose Bowl.
That's right
for the winner.
Exactly right. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So I want to jump on that Alabama-Oklahoma game. Now we know that Oklahoma's quarterback broke his thumb, and has he played any amount since then?
Oh, yeah. He came back in just a couple of weeks, but has not been anywhere near as effective as he was before.
Okay. So then the game looks to me like, you know, the Oklahoma defense is supposed to be so good against the run. And Alabama doesn't do that very well, so it's all up to Alabama to quarterback receivers to get it done. So what's the secondary of Oklahoma like?
They're not bad. Oklahoma's pretty dang solid against the pass as well.
And Brent Venables' teams usually are pretty good in the secondary and pretty tough to throw against. And I think a lot of it comes from the front seven. Like, it's tough to evaluate how good Oklahoma's secondary is because so much of what they do is driven by that pass rush getting to the quarterbacks in the first place. But teams have not thrown the ball. Oklahoma's won 8 in a row, and a big reason why is the teams have not been able to throw the ball against them very much.
And what's been a big problem for Alabama is the, down the stretch, the more pressure that there has been on Ty Simpson, the more he struggled.
And they have the ability on defense to get to him and
yes, they
cause
do.
That, I suppose.
Yeah, they do. A lot of people feel like they may have the best front seven in college football. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. Let's move on. Who's up next?
Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. Quick question. Number 10, I don't remember his name, on the basketball team from Huntsville.
Hold on. Number 10 on the basketball team from Huntsville. Is it Simon?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Simon Walker.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten Simon's number because I haven't seen him. He hasn't played that much.
Well, when he's in, I mean, he doesn't miss. How come he's not getting more minutes? I mean,
defense because of his defense, and it's that's one of the things that Steven just isn't going to play a guy who is. A liability defensively.
It feels like both Magwood and Simon have felt, and back when Bashir was playing, there would be breakdowns in the set because so much of what Steven's doing is asking his guards to sort of take the lead defensively, that's something. But I think that they're thin right back there, and it feels like either Simon or Caden or maybe both are going to need to play more once you get into SEC play.
I'm watching the guy. I mean, he's like, 7 of 10 from the three-point line?
Yeah, he's really got a great stroke. There's no question.
I mean, if he sat in there the whole game, I mean, he might, he might make 20 of 25 and knock down 60 points,
I think Steven's worried about how many he would give up in that portion, but you're right. I think that, when a guy's an offensive weapon, like, that's something that, especially when there's – I mean, with Kevin Overton being banged up and with some of the other guys in the backcourt in the reserve positions not having worked out as planned. I think trying to carve out more minutes for Simon, trying to carve out more minutes for Magwood, I think could be important as the season goes on.
One other quick question. Do you think they've got – they can actually bring in another player to replace the young man that's out?
Yeah, I don't see it right now. I mean, they'd have to be able to get an exception. I mean, one of the things Stephen was saying yesterday is the current medical redshirt rules, the way they interpret them, at least right now, is that you get out there and you play in the very first game of the year, and in the first few minutes you get hurt tough. You can't replace them. But Auburn is trying to see if there is any possible way they could bring in, because their roster right now is full.
And I have the stupidest idea in the world, which is I'd call Brandon Frazier. Because he's enormous and he's eligible at Auburn and he's an athletic guy and pretty smart. And I don't know how much basketball he's ever played, but he's, what, 6'7" and a half, 6'8"?
He's a guy that wouldn't count against the basketball scholarship
number. I think that's as viable. I think teaching, giving him 6 weeks of
sounds like they have an idea maybe, because he mentioned JUCO. There may be a JUCO possibility or two, but I think they're just trying to figure how they create roster space.
Well, I thought Southern Cal just brought somebody in.
They did, but they didn't have 13 guys on scholarship.
Ah, okay. That's
it. By the way, and appreciate the phone call, Paul. Great stuff. Chad Baker-Mazzara over at Southern Cal, and he's, I think, top 10 in the nation in scoring.
He is doing very
right
well.
Right now, they're letting him fly. They're also running a lot of point guard stuff for him, where he's sort of running the ball in the half court. But, yeah, great stuff from Paul. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, Auburn-Purdue tomorrow night. It is tomorrow night. 5:30 is night
on Peacock, by the way.
How about
also
that?
Also yep. if you have YouTube TV, you can get it on the NBC Sports Network, which just came back like last month, but you have that on YouTube TV if you're not a Peacock subscriber. But if you have a Peacock, you can watch the game that way or listen to it
on Wings 94.3. And
that's
then
right.
Following that, it's after the game tomorrow night as well, so that's coming up. We're out of time here on this Friday. Don, Merry Christmas
Same
to you and Donna
you
and the family.
You two guys, be safe, and thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
Donna will be back with us on our first show back
on
January 2nd. We've got two more shows, Monday and Tuesday. We've got plenty to talk about Monday.
Yeah.
College football playoffs, Auburn basketball. Who else is in the portal? And Brian Matthews will be in with us then. But that's going to wrap it up for this Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.
There's nothing more refreshing than an ice cold